So you can tell your education at the primary level at Bolgatanga.
Yeah.
No secondary education for you.
Mm-mm.
No university education.
No.
How come you speak very good English?
I'm self-educated through the Bible.
Wow.
The Bible is my best book.
At what age? We'll talk about some of the nutty stuff that you were involved in. But at what age did you receive Christ?
Around this time, when I had this encounter with God.
And what is that encounter? Yes, I can see it right there.
What I lost three of my fingers.
At what age?
That was about 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
What happened, Papa?
I was hearing voices. I used to do a lot. I used to smoke a lot of marijuana.
Oh, okay.
In those days, we.
You didn't do cocaine?
No. You know, I would have.
No heroin?
No. So, and used to drink a lot.
Who introduced you to weed smoking?
We live in that area, you know, and I was.
In Bolga or in Accra?
No, it started when I came to Accra. You know, I mean, there's a place behind the Golden Tulip. You know, they used to call it Legion Village.
Legion Village?
Legion
Village. Legion Village.
Yeah. And they used to plant it there fresh. You know, and the people in the area, everybody was smoking. Wow. My brothers, everybody was doing it, you know. And, you know, when you do it, it keeps you calm. And
marijuana keeps you calm?
Yeah, it has this effect on you where it keeps you calm and you can stay there all by yourself. Wow. And it's like you are isolated and kept from the whole world. And you live in a world of your own.
And you enjoyed that at the time?
You know, at that time you did, but it has serious consequences, which it takes time to find out. You know, you don't feel it immediately.
Mm.
You know, so, and there were a lot of challenges and difficulties, and we didn't have charismatic churches in those days like we do today, where you can go to a place for prayers and to get help and things like we have today. And I tried so many things and places and I wasn't getting help. And I remember at a particular time, they call it hallucination, but as a spiritual man, I know what it is now. I was hearing voices, you know.
Was it as a result of the marijuana or you thought there were some demons after?
No,
you?
That was what, that is what the psychiatrists and, you know, medical science would say that it was the marijuana, but these were voices like I'm hearing your voice.
Real voices?
Yeah, real voices, you know, in my room. And a voice commanded me to light a candle. You know, in those days, we didn't have standby generators and things at the upper residential area, and the voice said, light a candle. So I lighted a candle. And then the voice said, place your right palm on the flame.
At the time, you had gone into smoke or...
No.
You hadn't done that. You were just hearing voices?
Yeah, I hear the voices. And then the voice said, keep your hands on it till you are commanded to take it off. And my lips were sealed. And I couldn't take my hands off and I was in pain. And the flesh would open up and then the bones would pop out. And yet I couldn't take my hands off. You know, and it was going on. And I think the watchman smelled this smoke. So he rushed.
Was it in the night or in the afternoon?
It was in the night. So he rushed to call my father and my brother. And they came in and they broke the door down.
Wow.
And rescued me. So it was that time I came to myself. And then my father said, what have you done to your right hand? So it was at that point I realized that something had happened to me. And then I went up. I was in between two wells.
But Archbishop, it was an excruciating pain. You were in pain, but you couldn't take off your hand.
No, I was in pain and my lips were sealed. I couldn't open my mouth. I couldn't cry for help. You know, and the pain was unbearable. And I was holding my hands like this and it was burning. And I couldn't take my hands off. And now I understand what it is. You know, it was a demonic command.
Mm.
You know. And
was it to get rid of you? Was it to, now that you know?
I mean, there were so many things without getting rid of me. Sometimes I'll be sitting in the car driving and then the voice will say, open the car, jump out. And sometimes I'll stand at the top of my father's sitting room at the terrace. And then the voice will say, jump. You know, so it was something that was haunting me.
You're a man of many lives because the God has spared your life for a purpose. And here we are celebrating mm-hmm. you at 60.
Mm-hmm.
When that encounter came through, after that, you gave your life to Christ?
Yeah, at a bed of affliction. I was at a hospital for 4 months.
4 months? Which yeah. hospital is this?
Kolebu Ward H.
Hmm.
Yeah, and there was Dr. Kosa Adumaku Mensah and RSD operated on my hands. I think Dr. Adumaku Mensah is still alive somewhere at East Lagos. I don't know where he is, but wherever he is, God bless him. And
have you had a chance to maybe you bumped into him to say thank you, or you met him somewhere?
No, I haven't seen it. Someone just mentioned to me last year that Dr. Adumaku Mensah is alive.
Would you love to meet him? It would be great.
Absolutely. So I told him, he said he knows where he lives.
Dr. Adumaku Mensah.
Yes, at East Lagos. And I said, try and find him for me, because I want to get in touch with him. He did a good work, a good job, on my hand. Yeah.
So that started it all. That encounter
yeah.
changed your perspective.
There was a doctor, she was a scientist, an Indian scientist called Dr. Raj.
Okay.
So she came to witness to me about Christ. And I just looked at her and said, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm baptized, my mother is a Catholic, so I'm born into a Christian family and faith. And she said, let me tell you something, young man, Christianity is not a religion, it's an experience with a person, a savior, and it looks like you need him, and I respected her because she was an elderly lady, so I listened. And but for whatever reason, when she left that day, her words were ringing like a bell in my head, and I found myself talking and saying that, God, if you are real, like the preacher say you are. And people used to come and preach and please, I won't listen, And I think because of what had happened to me, I was angry.
At God?
I was angry with God, So I didn't know whether God existed or not, but for whatever reason, I was angry. And because I felt like I didn't deserve this, I deserve better. And because of the challenges of my life, I've been through stowaway and so many situation. So I just said, God, something is wrong with me, and if you are really there, you need to prove to me that you are real. It's not what any preacher is saying out there. You got to prove to me myself that you are real.
And how did God do that?
I had an encounter that night, and it was through that encounter I then surrendered my life. And the woman came back the next day and said, so what are you going to do? You are still going to be angry with God or give God a chance? And I said, I'll give God a chance. So I received Christ on the bed of affliction.